This is the hour we take your phone calls with Cheryl Jones. Questions, stories, open line calls, you name it, we'll take it. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with investigative reporter Cheryl Jones. Cheryl, I assume the conferences that you might have been going to are all canceled as well, aren't they?
Most of them are, but I believe MUFON is really going to go ahead with their international annual convention in September.
Are they really now? Where's that going to be? Do you know?
That's going to be in Vegas, and it's going to be there at. I think you just have to go to the website to see which hotel it's going to be held at. But they're going to try to go ahead with that.
All the Vegas casinos now are requiring you to wear a face mask when you walk through the casino or sit at a table or do whatever you do there.
That's going to be a nice group shot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can. They say you can take it off to eat. Well, duh. I hope so.
Yes, or either you just have to come in and carry extra food in your mask. I don't know. It's really getting a little bit bizarre. I'm still perplexed as to how the virus can be so intelligent. So it knows if you're at Home Depot or you are in a protest or in a church or all of these strange things. There's so much inconsistency that it's a little tough to figure out just exactly how to navigate through all this.
One of your assignments, I'm sending you to Wuhan to go to the viral lab.
Now, I'm allergic to bats. I have to tell you that.
Well, don't eat one.
No, or mix it with a snake.
That's what caught my eye back in, I think it was the end of December, early January, when we were first reporting on this thing. It was the bizarreness of the story that got my attention, that, that it may have been contracted by a tainted snake or bat from this market. And I saw that and said, what a weird little story. And at that time, there was just a few cases that they reported in Wuhan. I think it's been going on way longer than when they said. But then when I heard that a viral lab was in that city, I said, you know what? There are no coincidences. Something's going on there. And I think I'm right.
I think you are, too. There are too many strange things that have no real good explanation. And then to find out that we have a connection with the 3.7 million that was granted from
taxpayer
dollars over to that research, and it's just so mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And then there have been other connections and other people removed or stopped in their tracks with their continual work with that lab at our own universities. So it's just really troubling, and it's certainly more than meets the eye. And I think I think the one good thing that's coming out of all of this chaos that we're going through is that a lot of people are waking up and becoming more and more aware that there are so many levels to the things that are going on, and it pays us individually and as citizens to look beyond the headlines of mainstream.
Absolutely. Let's take some calls here for you, Cheryl. We're going to take calls for the rest of the hour, as a matter of fact. Let's pick it up by going to Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. And Cheryl, it's great to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here and be heard.
and George, don't send it to Wuhan. Send it to a Chinese restaurant. That's more civilized. But no bats and snakes.
Thank you, Joe. That would be an upgrade.
Well, I was going to offer you different things to choose from, but I was told that I should pick one or two things. Would you like to talk about other worlds and the beings that are in those worlds?
Well, what are your choices?
You're the caller, Joey. You do it.
Yeah. What are your choices? Have you ever had a paranormal experience?
Every day.
Have you been taken aboard any craft?
Well, I don't remember, but I was abducted when I was 2 or 3 years old.
Really?
I have dreams of it, and I did have an implant in my leg, but they seem to have moved it. These things move, George.
Really? How did you get the implant?
Well, that's what our friend Whitley Strieber says, too. Whenever they try to get this thing out of his behind his ear, it moves around.
Yeah. I was threatening to go to a doctor and have them look at it. But a few days later, the skin grew over the area that you could see, kind of like through the leg a little bit, where you could see the different things in there. It was interesting, and now I can't find it. The skin has grown over. It looks like a normal leg. That's nice.
That's interesting. Our good friend Roger Lear, unfortunately, Dr. Roger Lear is no longer with us, but that was his specialty, to remove implants.
Yeah, he would have been great. Anyways, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I also do exorcisms. It's part of my healing work, so I have to be able to work with a person on all directions. And because I've gained a lot of insight, and, you know, I do meditate for many, many, many years, I'm able to contact the other side a bit. I don't like to do that too often because it just opens me up to too many other things. I do call on angels, archangels, and deities. And, of course, there's a dark side that we have to contend with. And that includes extraterrestrials, and they also possess people as well. So we have a smorgasbord of all these different things going on the astral plane and other dimensions. But the real good things is that we have these deities and these godlike beings that watch over the human race and other worlds too. And then, of course, there's what Christ refers to as God the Father, which is that's the big guy. That's the boss. I have called on these beings, and they help. And beyond heaven would be the kingdom of God. So we do have a very interesting creation, and it's filled with all the different types of people and all different types of life forms that come and help us, and all on the earth as well. We have stones that have consciousness, and we have herbs that have consciousness, that have soul, an oversoul, and they're very much alive. And you could work with the beings or the entities that are in charge of that.
Well, the plants, I would think you're probably right. I'm not so sure about stones having any kind of intelligence or consciousness. Though we have seen pictures, Cheryl, of stones that have moved, and it's almost impossible for a human to move them physically because they're so big. That's strange. Have you heard about those?
Oh, yes.
They just, like, move along like they walk.
There's something else going on. I don't know who could explain it or if we'll ever know in our lifetimes what the answers to all of these questions are, but there's so many strange supernatural and paranormal things that are going on, and that's right there at the top of the list in terms of things that we can't do as humans.
Let's go to first-time caller Mark in Fargo, North Dakota. Welcome to the program, Mark. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Finally made it to the big time.
Perfect.
First of all, I just want to give a shout-out to Cornelius in Louisiana, because I hear his name constantly in the news, I guess, or C-SPAN. I almost feel like he's running his own comedy channel or something.
He's a good guy.
I've been watching a lot about Titan, the moon, Saturn's moon Titan. I've even had a weird dream that that the New World Order is putting polar bears on Titan, and they're somehow evolving to, like, almost like monsters like you see in Star Wars, the Wampas or something. And the show I was watching was actually talking about the dunes on Titan, which are pretty renowned and spectacular. I think they even said that they're the same height as the Statue of Liberty on average, these on these dunes, and they're facing in the opposite direction of the wind of Titan, which is not what you would expect. You know, dunes are supposedly facing in the direction that the wind is, you know, creating them to be dunes. So I don't know if this is some, I mean, this is some kind of supposedly NASA science channel. I was even watching it today. And have you heard of anything weird about Titan with the dunes and the wind? If there's a, there's got to be a scientific explanation for this. I just can't believe in aliens. I've never been abducted. I'm not saying people haven't been abducted, but it just sounds like the most bizarre thing. I'd almost think Stanton Friedman would be the only person qualified to answer that question, but I'm hoping you know something about that, maybe, or...
Well, unfortunately, Stanton passed away a year ago, so we won't be able to tap into him, but Titan, along with the Jupiter's moon Europa, are very strange places, and I think they're pretty Earth-like, Cheryl.
Well, it sounds like it, but I know that you can find some information online about that, and it's just incredible. I mean, there are even pictures, so it's really an interesting story. I'm not an expert on that, so we do need Stan Friedman to talk about that.
Were you an did you study astronomy at all, or did you have a telescope when you were younger?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did, and still do.
How did you get involved in meteorology? What was it about weather that really got you?
When I first started in television, when I was three.
That's right. I remember that.
I'm just one of those time travelers. You know, time means nothing. That's where I started. I started out in weather. It was a different time then. And then I worked my way up through talk shows and producing and handling live talk shows and live call-ins, much like we're doing now, although it was a different time. I actually started out doing that before there was a seven-second delay, and that became very interesting, and then progressed on from that into news. I did radio news as well, and into television news, and as a reporter, and also as an anchor. So I worked both sides of the newsroom up through the years, which was really an oddity, and still is from that standpoint, because then I eventually decided to go back to school and get a degree in meteorology, temporary period of insanity, to do something like that and work too full-time. But I became interested and involved in hot air ballooning and had my own hot air balloon. And that started the whole interest in terms of intensifying the interest in meteorology, and then led to me going back to school to get the degree in meteorology while I was working at the CBS station in Denver as a news anchor. So it's just kind of a crazy...
Was it from Denver you got picked up by CNN?
From Denver, I didn't know. First, I went to WAGA in Atlanta, or actually the Weather Channel first, and then on to WAGA in Atlanta, and then to CNN.
Uh-huh.
So
which is based in Atlanta, so
exactly.
You were there.
I made the rounds in Atlanta. I was known very well. And I started in, when I went to CNN, I was in news, but I wanted to keep my toe in the door with weather and with meteorology because I'd worked so hard to get the degree. It wasn't easy, and I didn't want to lose it. So Bert Reinhart, then the president, allowed me to occasionally still do some weather along the way so I could keep fresh on both sides. And so I did that for a long, long time there at CNN.
The station you were at in Kansas City, was it KCMO?
My second tenure in Kansas City was KCMO, Channel 5, the CBS affiliate, but my first tenure was at, some years earlier, at KMBC in Kansas City, where I was the first woman to
right.
be in an anchor position on the evening news and other interesting things going on there. I was actually taken off the air once because my hair was too curly.
Really?
Yes, until I could straighten my hair, which, of course, I have naturally curly hair, so that's not easy for
that's
someone.
That's funny.
That was in broadcasting, George, you know, when management changes, everything changes. It's not unlike any other corporate situation.
Good or bad, they change.
Right. So the person who came in, who became my boss, who inherited me, apparently didn't like curly hair. So I had to go through a little bit of that. and not, well, not a little bit. I went through a lot. And so it was very interesting. The times have changed so, so much. But I've survived it, no problem. Always landed on my feet, and so it was just an interesting journey.
I went online last week to just try to look up some of my former news directors and people like that that had an influence on my career, and most of them, Cheryl, are all passed on now. It's unbelievable.
That's true. Most of the colleagues I've worked with at CNN have as well, and I have a few friends left that I stay in contact with from CNN. Because it seems like time passes so fast and things happen to everybody somewhere along the way. And you just cherish your friendships that you've made over the years in all the different cities that you've worked in, because I've worked in quite a few cities, starting in my hometown of Knoxville and then moving on to Kansas City. And, when there were no women on the news, on the evening news.
That's right. You really paved the way.
Yeah, at CNN, it seemed to be that way every time I made a move. It was kind of crazy. It was a different sort of a briar patch I was going through, but I continued to do it for some crazy reason. And then even at CNN, when Bert Reinhardt hired me at CNN as news, but he allowed me to keep my toe in weather from time to time. So I became and still remain, as far as I know, the only person to have ever done network level meteorology, weather, with a degree, meteorology degree, as well as news anchoring at the network level. And of course, that was not just national, but international. So it was interesting. So, you know, I would do the news, and then we'd cue to the commercial break, and when we came back, I'd be over at the weather board and cue to another break, and then I'd be back over.
Did you ever meet Larry King when you were at CNN?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I met Larry King.
Now, he was always based in L.A., though, right?
In Washington.
Oh, that's where he was? And then he moved to L.A. eventually.
Right, right. But I was on the air with him a lot.
I was on his show twice. I miss him. I wish that he could come back.
I do, too. I'd
like to show.
I'd love to see some of the veterans come back and do a different version of the news than what we have today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's too much opinion these days.
Well, it's all opinion, and it's political activism, and I just would rather see the news and let the viewers make up their own decisions. I like to make up my own decision, and that's something we're facing today that we've never faced before, is the censorship that's involved with someone else selecting what they want us to hear and see, and, you know.
And you can't trust them because you don't know if they have an agenda.
Well, in some cases, we do know they have agendas.
That's right.
And that makes it even worse. And it makes it, when they start withholding information, the question is then, why are they so afraid that you will hear another opinion? I'm one of those people who like to hear all opinions. That doesn't mean I'm going to believe them all. How can you make a balanced decision? It doesn't matter what topic it is, but how, whether it's on health or finances or whatever, if you don't have more than one window into what's really going on.
That's right. We're going to come back in a moment to take final calls with Cheryl Jones on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you along with Cheryl Jones. And let's go to the calls. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Tom, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, George. God bless you for everything you do, and God bless our entire
Coast to Coast
community. And Cheryl, I'm wondering, you know, listening to tonight's investigation by you, many people who appear, okay, they appear to be, quote, demonically, you know.
Possessed?
Possessed, yeah, exactly. Demonically possessed may, in fact, be a product of a trauma-based mind control program. I mean, you think of people like Sirhan, you know, he was sort of an odd character, you know, you could say, well, he was demonically possessed, but maybe, you know, it was a trauma-based mind control, you know, that was controlling him, controlling his actions. Coast to Coast has had like Michael Fitzhugh Bell, who wrote The Invisible Crime at invisiblecrime.com. He would be an excellent person to interview. He speaks about being abducted and having implants throughout his body, you know, and he's been able to prove that, you know, with medical professionals. And so I'm wondering, I think it would be a great topic. You may be investigating it already. And I'm wondering if you would be interested in covering that.
I think that's a great idea. That is a great idea, Tom. And I wonder, you said trauma-based mind control that was you know, perhaps controlling Sirhan Sirhan. And I'm wondering if that wouldn't become demonically possessed. I mean, could it be one and the same?
We are still, Cheryl, trying to get a hold of Sirhan Sirhan's court situation to do an interview with him before he passes on.
Mm-hmm. That would be very interesting. That's an interesting concept.
I mean, he initially, you know, basically confessed, and then he recanted and, says basically he can't remember anything, which sounds like mind control, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's what I started to say. That would be a part of that, if someone is mind-controlled to do something, and obviously their memory is going to be erased. So that's an incredibly interesting topic, and I believe Paul Davids has a book on that as well with some experience with that. I think you've had him on the show before.
Yeah, we sure have. And Sirhan Sirhan now is 76 years old, so he's getting up there in age. Let's go to Monica in Reith, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
How's everybody?
I'm great.
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. So I channel an entity, and I'm sure, you know, it's not, and, you know, I range from things like demonic possession to attachments to all this and that. And actually, you know, we've discussed it, and he's actually open to questions and answers, if that's okay with you guys tonight.
You mean you're ready to channel him now?
Yeah.
Well,
I can't trans-channel. I'm
going to have Tom check your phone first. We'll probably do it during an open line period because you're kind of wavering in and out. But have you ever interviewed somebody, Cheryl, who channeled? I mean, I have on this program where they go into that channeled mode and you end up interviewing the spirit.
No, I haven't done that. I have had discussions with people who do channel, but I haven't interviewed, per se, for a report, anyone who's done that.
Just last week I was doing that. It's really weird, but it's interesting. Let's go to Gabriel in Spokane, Washington, west of the Rockies. My dad's name. Hey, Gabe, go ahead.
Namaste. I love my heart, and I studied here in Spokane, Washington, with a reincarnational hypnotherapist. I asked the screener, or I posed my question specifically about your knowledge of reincarnating ancient Egyptians.
All right. What do we know about this, Cheryl? Reincarnation of ancient Egyptians. We know that reincarnation happens from any area.
Right.
Doesn't have to be Egypt.
No, that would not be my area of expertise.
But however, if you find somebody, that'll be a great segment for you.
That really would. That you never know. We could be a descendant of...
What do you think of reincarnation in general?
Well, I think there's some merit to it. It's one of those things where the more you look at it, it's another one of those things that has some mysterious things that can't be explained by any natural means and by anything that we know, you know, as far as human skills and so on. So there's so much we don't know that you have to keep an open mind, and I would say that anything is possible.
They say that when you reincarnate, you choose your parents for the next life. Isn't that something?
Well, that would be interesting, but also in reincarnation, they say that you keep coming back to keep learning things that you haven't learned before. So at what point do you ever learn everything that you need to learn? It seems to be an endless cycle.
If I choose my parents, if I chose them, I did pretty darn good.
You sure did. I heard your mother the other.
Oh, my God. She's just precious.
What a sweetheart she is.
She is.
What a sweetheart. And your father sounds so nice, that he was such a nice person.
He was a great
well.
Guy. He was
and you're blessed to have had them for so long.
Well, then they were caring. They were great parents to all three of us. And mm-hmm. We've lost one of my sisters, but they were just attentive parents. I mean, they cared about your grades. They cared about your attitude. They cared about what you were doing. They cared about where you were going. I mean, they were parents, and they did a great job.
Yes, and it seems sometimes today people think if parents ask you where you are or what you're doing or what time you're going to be home, there seems to be a different reaction and lack of appreciation for that kind of care.
Yeah, I mean, I would, when my kids were growing up, we didn't have cell phones and things like that, mm-hmm. but, I would have put those trackers in the phones that they have now, the parental things. It's not spying on your kid. It's just knowing what's going on.
Well, and really, young kids and anyone young, and you learn more as you get older, so you can't possibly have the understanding and the overview of life and the importance of things in a very early age as you do when you get older. So it's only natural, and it's a little concerning now to see some efforts to urge children to be more resistant and overbearing and to resist authority.
We've got Mike in Denver. He's a millennial there, Cheryl. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good morning.
And good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call, George. And Cheryl, I just want to say thank you so much for all you do. I've been listening to you for, since you started. And your interviews, I mean, right out of the gate are so compelling. The questions you ask, the subject material, I think that I couldn't imagine anyone else doing the job you do. So thank you so much. So I kind of had a comment and a question tonight. So I know that you went to Metro in Denver for a while, Cheryl, and worked on television in Denver.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on what that time in your life was like and to kind of the experience you gained out of that time period in your life. Thank you.
Yes, that was a few years ago. I did enjoy my time in Denver. I was actively involved in hot air ballooning with my own balloon at that time. And so I did pursue that meteorology degree there. And also while I was working full-time at the CBS station, KMGH. So that was quite a challenge, but it was also very rewarding. So that really kind of was another step toward aviation meteorology that I became involved in, with filing flight reports and so on before every balloon flight. So that was that's a whole different chapter in my life. But I really enjoyed Denver. I have friends there in Denver. I enjoyed going to all of the, the balloon competitions and so on in Albuquerque and all around, and had a lot of different experiences, including some high wind landings. And actually, my second balloon, I ended up designing it, what I was trying to accomplish in the design was pretty challenging, but eventually the design came to me in a dream one night, and I got up and scribbled it on a paper and had already ordered a stock balloon, called the manufacturer the next day and says, hold up, I think I've got something else coming that I like better. And so that's really, some interesting things happened along that line. So, yes, I enjoyed Denver, and every city has offered and had a lot of different things that appeal to me. So it's always hard to pick a favorite city.
Well, it sure is. It's a beautiful country, Cheryl.
It sure is.
And, it just tears me up what's going on with this so-called COVID-19. And
yes. Absolutely.
You know where they seem to have forgotten to tell us about anything about the common flu, the seasonal flu? I want to know how many people finally died this season. Where were we at? Did we hit the 60,000 that we normally, hit? It's like it doesn't exist.
There are so many unanswered questions with this situation, including more transparency on how COVID-19 is diagnosed when someone goes into the hospital if they're terminal for some other reason and they end up dying with COVID, not because of COVID, but it gets listed as COVID. So then how do you even have any confidence in the numbers and the scary numbers that are now starting to be put on the screen again? We had a little bit of a break there from all of that when the protests started. I don't know which is the lesser of the evils there, but there's so many conflicts. I think people are questioning a lot of things about it, and rightfully so. We do need to know what's really going on. And when they talk about those numbers, there's no breakdown of ages or how many were already terminal before they were diagnosed with COVID-19. That makes a big difference. There's no confidence in polls, or you can't have confidence in polls, unless you know exactly what conditions those numbers were created and questions that were asked and how they became the numbers that they are. So that's what we're missing, and I wish some of the reporters on network news would be a little more persistent in getting to the bottom of everything.
Let's go to first-time caller Shelley in Tampa, Florida. Good morning, Shelley.
Hi, how are y'all?
Okay, thank you.
Fine, thank you.
Good. First time I've ever heard your show. Very interesting.
Well, how'd you finally find us?
I'm traveling up to Georgia to see my mom, and I just put on the radio.com app and listened to my local station, and y'all came on.
Well, we're on a station in Tampa when you go home, too, so you'll find us.
You can't get away from us.
that's quite all right. I was just wondering if, an entity can choose to follow someone at any time. My husband and I have been together for a while. When we moved into one house, we had some things going on, and we could kind of see a presence or feel a presence of like a small child. And we moved to two other houses, and we've seen her since. Everyone we've been into, we still have things going on. So I didn't know if something would have been in that house, and then they decided, oh, we like you, and we're going to follow you.
Well, that's what Bill Bean said. If you remember in the interview, he felt that the entities or the demonic entities followed the family, but he felt that the family was getting attacked from three different sources. One, the bloodline through his mother that he felt was a source, and then through the house that he felt the house itself was demonically possessed, with a portal in his sister's bedroom where a photograph that they had hanging in the house even took on a demonic possession, and the eyes on the portrait were changed, and it seemed to follow them around, and it was caused some issues. And then when the mother started to pick it up and show it to her sister, she was grabbed by the back of the neck and thrown up in the air and really had injuries from that violent interaction. And so the house there appeared to be possessed. And so he did feel, in addition to the area being possessed, he felt that it followed the family and the family line.
Indeed. Cheryl, we're almost out of time. What do you have in store next month? We're going to talk about some of these killer hornets out there, huh?
Jeez, we're going to get to the bottom of that.
They're 2 inches long.
Yes, and then when they decide to go after their prey, which oftentimes is bees, they just chop off the head, and you can end up with a beehive full of decapitated bees, which doesn't sound very good, but we'll talk to an expert on that and find out what parts of the country really have to worry about it and how many of us don't have to worry.
I mean, they're in Seattle right now. We got to be careful. Thanks, Cheryl. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.